President Trump, when he was elected, promised to drain the swamp in Washington. There's another drain movement, which has long been active in D.C. long before the president got there. It's the Drain Your Wallet movement, which has unfortunately bipartisan support every year. In spite of promises to the contrary, congressional members of both parties try all they can to spend as much of your money as they possibly can. While some of the spending appears to have merit on the surface, the reality, quite a different story. My next guest heads an organization which brings outrageous government spending to your attention throughout the year, as well as via their annual congressional pig book, which just came out for 2018. Here to share some of the crazed acts of spending is President of Citizens Against Government Waste, Tom Schatz. Thanks for being here today, sir.
Thanks. Glad to be on.
And you can find out more about the out-of-control government spending, which you probably didn't think was still going on because of words to the contrary, at CAGW.org. And also, if you support the work of Citizens Against Government Waste, you can get your own copy of the 2018 Congressional Pig Book. And maybe if one of your elected officials appears in that book, you can give them the courteous tap on the shoulder and say, knock it off. So, you know, like I said in the introduction, Tom, what surprises me is we hear the words in the camera, open mic, TV shows, we're going to cut spending. When you look at 2017 and you report it in the 2018 Congressional Pig Book, how did that promise hold up?
2017, there were 163 earmarks costing $6.8 billion. In 2018, 232 earmarks, a 42% increase, and then $14.7 billion, a 116% increase, meaning it more than doubled from 2017 to 2018. Even more ominous, the $14.7 billion is more than half of the record $29 billion in 2006, which is the year that the Republicans lost the majority. And when they got it back in 2010, they adopted a moratorium on earmarks. We still find them, but this is clearly not going in the right direction.
And again, as I alluded to in the introduction, if you just look at the stated intent, which is usually something very general until you read the guts of the thing, like, for example, the purchase of 20 additional F-35 Joint Strike Fighter aircrafts. All right, we all want a stronger military. Certainly adding to it is better than subtracting to it, which we suffered through in recent years, at least we were led to believe. So what's wrong with that picture?
Well, in this case, the Pentagon didn't ask for it. It's the most expensive acquisition in history. It's been in development for 17 years. It's 7 years behind schedule. The acquisition costs are $406 billion, nearly double the estimate of $233. So lifetime operations and maintenance of $1 trillion. Senator McCain, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, 2 years ago called it a scandal and a tragedy with respect to cost, schedule, and performance. And even the Secretary of the Air Force said we should never be flying an aircraft while we're building it, because they decided we'll try with this, the most expensive acquisition in history, for an aircraft that would cover all of the services, that we're going to build it and try to fix it as we build it. That just doesn't work.
No. That's try that in the reality world. You know, have a not too happy an occurrence. Is it always easy and obvious to track down who was trying to push these earmarks through?
It's now almost impossible, because in 2008 to 2010, the names of the members were required to be added to the earmarks, and at the back of all the appropriations bills, you could find their names. And they decided that would be a nice reform that followed right after the $29 billion in earmarks in 2006 and the Bridge to Nowhere in 2005. So that was when Democrats were in charge. They said, let's try this. Well, Republicans, when they won back the House, said, look, that's not working either. Let's just have a moratorium. Set it aside. Notice I said moratorium, not a ban. So a moratorium is a suspension. You know, they're putting them in now, but there's no transparency. Other than one earmark, we don't know exactly who put them in.
It's really nice that they have the courage to stand by their actions. We're talking with Tom Schatz, who is the president of the Citizens Against Government Waste, CAGW.org. The 2018 Congressional Pig Book is out, and if you support the work of the Citizens Against Government Waste organization, you too can get your copy, and we'll find out some of the ugly stories of maybe what your representative in Congress is doing, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Now, constitutionally, Congress holds the purse strings, but if you look at the wishes, the wills, and the desires of the founding fathers and the crafters, James Monroe, for example, this wasn't what they had in mind.
No, it's absolutely not. In fact, President Monroe in 1822 in a speech to Congress talked about the internal improvements, as they called them, essentially infrastructure, same word. And he said that if you do not fund projects of national importance, it will be subject to abuse and might be productive of evil. So, you know, when you talk about the corruption, the cost, the inequitable distribution of money in earmarks, that's really exactly what he was talking about.
It turns out Monroe was the presidential Nostradamus in a lot of ways. Are most of these standalone bills, or are they tied in? I mean, we often see a bill that everyone wants to have passed for the protection of the borders, for example. But then if you look at what is included in the bill and tacked on, you can see totally unrelated elements.
Well, no question about that. In this case, these are just straight appropriations bills. What they do is they tie a lot of them together. It has been almost 30 years since the budget process worked as it should, meaning the budget gets passed on time, the authorization bills get passed, then the appropriations bills, and they are supposed to be done individually. No rule says they should be, but nonetheless, they're supposed to be passed on time. So in the past several years, under both Republicans and Democrats, they have what's called an omnibus bill, meaning one that has more than one or two or three of the appropriations bills. The smaller ones they call minibuses, but nonetheless, it's very difficult to get through a 2,000-page bill that combines all of the appropriations bills into one. Members don't have time to read them. They're not allowed to offer amendments, which is why in 2008-10, when they had the names of the members, the Appropriations Committee members were getting a majority of the earmarks and the money. 81 House and Senate appropriators, 15% of Congress, 51% of the earmarks, 61% of the money. So this is not an equitable distribution, aside from, we think, an abuse of the Article I power.
And there are programs, too, like the Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund, which got $65 million in fiscal year 2017. It's one of those elements where politicians can curry favor with specifics. It's not targeted for the best possible results.
Well, in this case, it was added, was not requested by the president, but nonetheless, it was Patty Murray, senator from Washington State. She took credit for it, but it was in the House bill as well. In this case, the House and Senate did agree, but since it wasn't requested, it's an earmark. But this is another example where it's just not being, it's being targeted to a particular area, and it favors certain species and geographic areas over another. You know, we kind of, you know, we joke about the trout in the east. What's, you know, why aren't they getting money? Not that we want them to get special services or anything. I love Blue Point oysters, you know, but there's no Blue Point oyster recovery program at the federal level. It's a local issue.
And to say the least, the White House at least is drawing lines in the sand. The Trump administration, they have for fiscal year 2018, they called it the major savings and reforms, and they put out recommendations, but it just flat out sounds like the White House recommendations are falling on deaf ears in too many ways.
Well, that's true. And look, even some of President Obama's recommendations have been ignored. One great example is something called Save America's Treasures, which until 2017 had not received an earmark, but suddenly in 20, then they got a $5 million earmark last year. Then this year it went up to $13 million. And so that one contributed to the downfall of former House Appropriations Committee member Alan Mollohan of West Virginia when in 2010 he added $150,000 to restore an opera house in his district, was operated by a former aide. Basically, he put that money in so she could get a job. And so when President Obama called for the elimination of this program in 2011, he said the Park Service should be able to focus on managing national parks rather than these local opera houses, theaters, museums.
Where in many cases, if they raised the price of admission somewhere, maybe a quarter per person, they would make up and probably wind up with more funding than they're getting right now from the federal government.
Oh, that's absolutely true. In fact, one of the other Interior Department appropriations, and again, we know, because I've met with Interior Department staff, including the secretary, they're very fiscally conservative. They're really trying hard to make the money go further and be spent more effectively. 2.7 or 2.8 million for something called National Capital Arts and Cultural Affairs here in D.C. gives money to the Kennedy Center, Ford's Theater, Phillips Collection, So you talked about the quarter. Well, the Kennedy Center could have added another 30 cents per ticket and not needed the $415,000 that it got from the taxpayers. That's not a lot of money. Not that hard to raise that much money. All the patrons and donors that give to the Kennedy Center, two of them could write a check and cover that.
Exactly. And up in the price of admission by a quarter to 30 cents, you're not really going to wind up turning a lot of people away, if any. Well, it's out. It's probably the least popular publication on Capitol Hill, but it is empowering information for you as a voter. The 2018 Congressional Pig Book. Find out how to get your copy by giving your support to Citizens Against Government Waste at CAGW.org. We've been joined by their president, Tom Schatz. Tom, thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much.